Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. I'm so sorry we weren't on the air for you yesterday, but we had so much smoke intrusion into our Pasadena studios that we didn't feel it was safe for our Air Talk team to be working. I could broadcast at home, but the team, our people on site, we didn't feel it was safe for them to be here. And our crack facilities crew, I don't know how they did it, but they had in big air purifiers, charcoal filters, the whole thing, rented and into our building by yesterday afternoon. And what a difference. It's just infinitely more breathable and pleasant here at our KPCC studios. And our thanks to our facilities team here. They have just, with COVID-19 safety and just handling all that they need to do to keep our facilities going during what has been an incredibly challenging year, we appreciate them so much. Coming up later, the latest on COVID-19 with our health authority today. And for fun, it's Friday. We need something a little light fun. We're going to open up the phones and hear your favorite street in Southern California, or highway. It could be something like Pear Blossom Highway or Rim of the World up in the forest. But we want to hear your very favorite street or thoroughfare here in Southern California and why it's particularly loved by you later this hour. But unfortunately, we got to begin with yet another tough fact of life in Southern California, and that is our very compromised air quality because of the Bobcat Fire burning in the Angeles National Forest. With us from the South Coast Air Quality Management District, Deputy Executive Officer Philip Fine. Thank you very much, Philip, for being with us today. And just describe for us what this morning's air quality is looking like.
Good morning, Larry. Good to speak with you again. The air quality is not looking good in some areas of Southern California. As you mentioned, the Bobcat Fire, as well as the fire out by Yucaipa, is having some significant ground-level impacts in areas downwind. So in case of the Bobcat Fire, overnight we had stagnant conditions, and there's a lot of impacts sort of south and southwest of there into downtown. And then the Yucaipa Fire nearby in eastern San Bernardino Valley, there's also been some local impacts of the fine particulate matter, which is our biggest concern at the moment.
And so what are we at unhealthy for sensitive persons? Is that where we stand, particularly the areas closest to those fires?
Actually, we're seeing some levels higher than that, so up into the unhealthy range. And even a few areas could go as far as very unhealthy, but mostly we're seeing in the areas of impact in the unhealthy range, which for those familiar with the air quality index is red on those maps.
And what does that mean specifically? Does that mean everybody should stay indoors?
It means everybody can be negatively affected. So we tell people to take precautions. So if you see smoke, smell smoke, or see or smell ash, you should try to avoid those exposures. One way to do that is to go indoors, close doors and windows if you can do that, run your air conditioner if you have a clean filter. Also avoid vigorous exercise, especially outdoors, and try to just limit that exposure as much as possible.
And is the South Coast AQMD able to forecast when we might have a break in the smoke?
Yeah, so there's two factors in our forecast. One will be, you know, the weather and where the wind is blowing and how stagnant the conditions are going to be. And we can make some predictions of that. But what we can't predict is when the fires will be put out and when the smoke creation will cease. So we don't know that. But if the fires continue to burn, we would expect to see similar impacts every day. But then when the fires are put out and extinguished, or at least are not producing as much smoke, we should see things improve over time. It might take, you know, a day or so to clear things out. We're also seeing impacts from the Northern California fires. So the orange glow that everyone's experienced in Southern California right now is largely due to very high-level smoke that's coming from the Northern California and the Oregon wildfires. It's very high up in the atmosphere. A lot of that smoke is not making it down to ground level, thankfully, but that's why all over Southern California we're seeing these eerie orange glow type of conditions.
That's so odd that we've got two, you know, different fires that are creating this simultaneous effect, as you're describing the light and the sun looking orange and all, that's from the fires burning to the north, but the smoke that we're experiencing at ground level and the ash fall is from the local fires. That I'm trying to think of a time when we've had that before, and nothing comes to mind.
It may have happened once or twice before in the past few years, but not to this extent. I think that if you look at the air quality that they're experiencing up in Northern California and Oregon, it is much worse than we're getting in Southern California and much more widespread. So we're somewhat fortunate we're not seeing those level of impacts, but it is a little bit unusual that we're seeing this enormous smoke plume that's almost 1,000 miles wide that's affecting all the western states because of the intensity of those Oregon and Northern California wildfires.
Philip, thank you for being with us again. We appreciate it very much. Anything just briefly to add that I neglected to ask you about that's important to share?
Yeah, people should just take precautions. If they see smoke or ash, you know, try to avoid that exposure. You can also go to our website or our app. Our website's aqmd.gov to get real-time and forecast information. And our app, South Coast AQMD app, also has similar information. We're also issuing advisories on a daily basis, trying to let people know what to expect each day. Just keep an eye on all those and take precautions accordingly.
Yeah, the website, very helpful, and I have to download that app. Philip, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Larry.
Deputy Executive Officer of the South Coast Air Quality Management District. Now for the latest on the two fires that are burning in Southern California, the Bobcat, which is burning in the Angeles National Forest above Azusa, Monrovia, and potentially threatening parts of Arcadia, Bradbury, and even Pasadena, that far west, is David Dantick, captain with Los Angeles County Fire Department. Sir, thank you for being with us. What's the latest on where the growth in the Bobcat fire is occurring?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
Very good. So I'm one of the public information officers for the Bobcat fire, and the latest is we're over 26,368 acres with only 6% contained. We have a total of 532 firefighting personnel on the site and trying to make a perimeter around the fire itself. We are expecting heavier fire activity for the north, northeast of the fire. And also last night, I know people saw that the backing of the fire going to the south, southwest, affecting the communities alongside the foothills there.
And what's the degree of wind that's up there pushing the fire?
Thankfully, we did not, as predicted, they were thinking the Santa Ana's a couple days ago, and we didn't get that Santa Ana's, but thankfully for that, because that fire would have pushed further southwest. We are getting those diurnal winds pushing the fire to the north-northeast.
Okay, but you mentioned there is some growth along the south and southwest flanks of the fire. Since we've had several days now, since the fire began on Sunday, has there been an ability to build some buffer zones using tractors around the area of those foothill communities?
Yeah, we do have, it is very, very steep terrain. It's steep terrain in those areas. We are in the process of making containment lines. Last night when those fires did start acting, where the flames were active, we did make an aggressive airdrops there because of the weather permitted. We had two fire Blackhawks from the Los Angeles County Fire Department that assisted in putting water drops on the perimeter of the southwest.
Okay. And so at this point, we continue with just evacuation warnings for those foothill communities?
And that's correct, sir. So we are keeping those warnings in place. And warnings are just make sure you're prepared to go at any moment in time. Make sure you have your medications that you need, any belongings that you easily accessible that you want to take with you, and make sure you're in the out position of your car. Make sure your vehicle is pointing out. That way, in case an order does come into play, you're ready to go.
All right. Also, I don't know, because you're Los Angeles County Fire, do you have any updated information on the El Dorado fire that's burning near Yucaipa?
I don't. I'm actually the public information officer for this Bobcat fire, so I don't have any information on the El Dorado fire.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Captain Dantic. Good to have you with us. David Dantic, L.A. County Fire, joining us on Air Talk. Also with us from Cal Fire, Lynn Tolmachoff, who's going to talk with us about what's going on throughout Northern California. Lynn, thank you for being with us. How are those fires? First, the one that's burning in the Sierra communities.
So the fires up Northern California, some of them are actually doing really well. Quite a few of the lightning complexes that occurred back in August, firefighters have made very good progress on them. But unfortunately, the other day when we did experience some winds up here, a couple of the fires did grow out of their containment lines and ultimately into some more urban areas, unfortunately. So those are being a bit of a challenge, but the weather's improving, so hopefully firefighters can get some work done this weekend.
Okay. And what about farther to the north? How are things looking right now?
Yeah, farther to the north, going up towards the Oregon border, we've got a couple fires up there that are proven to be very challenging along the Siskiyou County area, Klamath National Forest, that general area. So, once again, very rough terrain, very rural areas, kind of hard to get to. So we're going to have to do what we can to get the fires in check.
All right. So record acreage of fires burning in California, and we're not even technically into our typical fire season, are we?
That's correct. Yeah, we're just barely into September, and historically here in California, we see some of the most devastating wildfires in the months of September and occasionally into November. So, with no rain in sight, we're having to stay on our toes and make sure we're watching things. And you know, we've broken records this year again, unfortunately. Over 3.1 million acres burned. Unfortunately, 20 lives have been lost in total in these fires in California. And just, everybody's kind of sick of the smoke, we know. And like Philip was saying, it's just a matter of time. Eventually, the smoke will disappear. But until then, everybody just has to be cautious.
And with the heavy smoke, has there been an ability to survey the damage from the North Complex fire? I mean, we know Berry Creek had significant damage in that small town, and up in Butte County, we know there were 7 bodies that were found there. I mean, it's just sort of the start of some awful news that we're going to be getting once there's more surveying of the aftermath?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, we kind of do a drive-by just to see, give an estimate of how many structures we think have been destroyed on those fires, and they're saying potentially up to 2,000 structures somehow damaged or destroyed in the fire. On that north complex, unfortunately, the death toll has gone up to 10. They found an additional 7 people yesterday, and they already had found 3 people the day before. So, and unfortunately, also, there's still some folks missing.
Okay. It's just terrible. And how the speed with which these fires have moved, I mean, we know 2 years ago in Paradise, where the town was just overrun before all the residents could get out and the fire was largely destroyed that community. Did we see similar kinds of things with the North Complex?
Yeah, as far as the speed to which the fire moved, absolutely. That fire grew, 100,000 acres in 24 hours. One of the advantages, if you want to call it that we had with the North Fire is the fire was already established. It was already burning. They knew that they did not have full containment on it, and they were expecting the winds. So they had some pre-planning. They knew where the fire could potentially move to because the fire was already, already burning. When the Paradise Fire struck, the fire hadn't started. So it was one of those something you couldn't pre-plan for, and it was an immediate reaction to things. So a little bit more advantage with this fire, but unfortunately, yeah, the town of Berry Creek was pretty well destroyed, unfortunately. And if you look on a map, that town is right next to the community of Paradise and Magalia.
As if that area has not been already traumatized. Berry Creek, by the way, with just over 500 residents of that community. What about fire resources and availability, Lynn? Because up in Oregon, they're just dealing with terrible fires as well. Are there enough firefighters in the West to go around?
That's always a good question. We did have some firefighters here from Oregon helping us out, and we've had to send those guys back to help their own departments and their own folks. make it through these wildfires. So right now we do have some out-of-state resources helping us, you know, from states like Idaho, New Mexico, Utah, Texas. But, you know, as far as Washington and Oregon goes, you know, we're having to let their firefighters be and take care of their folks.
All right. Lynn, thank you so much for the latest from CAL FIRE. We really appreciate it. And we wish all your personnel, firefighters, and everyone assisting them the best in what I know are some very dangerous circumstances. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Lynn Tomachoff, who's with CAL FIRE. Also with us, science reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting, Aaron Ross, has been covering the latest on the devastating wildfires that have been hitting various parts of Oregon. Aaron, thank you for being with us. What's the latest?
The biggest, most recent developments that we're seeing right now are primarily in a fire burning near Medford, Oregon, which is southern Oregon, so very close to some of the fires that we've been seeing. Actually, some of those fires in southern or in Northern California have crossed the border. This is very close to there. And this fire is growing very rapidly. It's the Eagle Point Fire, but it is mostly impacting smaller communities. But up in the north, we have also the Beachy Creek and Riverside fires, which are expected sometime today to merge into one mega fire, actually a mega fire of three separate fires. Beachy Creek is already 200,000 acre fires that merged. And it's getting dangerously close to the city of Portland and has already forced several of Oregon's bedroom communities to evacuate, including Oregon City is now under a level two get set evacuation order. And that's a place with about 100,000 people living in it, and that's they've all been evacuated. So we have over 500,000 people in the entire state under some level of evacuation orders right now.
Is that south of Oregon, or which direction is that fire relative to the city?
To the city, it's just to the southeast.
Just to the southeast, okay.
Yes, just looking. It's a very populated area. It's where all the bedroom communities of Portland are.
Yeah, I'm seeing already some heavy traffic along, 205 there. Are people actually evacuating at this point?
Yes, they are. They've evacuated some of the neighboring communities, so Estacada has been entirely evacuated. The community of Sandy towards the mountains, Mount Hood, Canby, Oregon, have all been entirely evacuated. And that's on top of the evacuations that we had over the previous 4 days.
And I know the weather conditions that fueled the fires, this is very unusual for you to experience Santa Ana type offshore winds like this time of year. Can you elaborate a bit on this phenomenon?
Yes, absolutely. Well, they're onshore winds. So the Santa Ana's come when you have a low pressure system offshore and then a very high pressure system inshore, and it brings those dry winds that are warmer from the center of the country. And that's exactly what's happening up here. But up here, it's extremely rare. So this is a type of weather event that we would get maybe, you know, once or twice a century, according to the Weather Service. It's extremely uncommon. And that also means that brought the fires down into the western side of Oregon. They usually burn on the eastern side of the mountain range. And that means the western side, it's not prone to fires, so it has a lot of fuel buildup. And these fires just tore down the canyon. Several fires moved 40 miles in the span of between 6 and 12 hours. It's truly unprecedented. We haven't been able to keep up. We really haven't.
All right. And at this point, do we have an accounting of the damage so far, or is the smoke so thick it's hard to get that?
It's not even a smoke issue. The fires have been burning so fast and so rapidly that it isn't safe to send in search and rescue teams. In fact, we haven't even been able to work on fire containment except for a very small number of our fires, and those are only, you know, in the single percent contained. Most of our fires are 0% contained. And that's because there are just no resources to go around. There are no firefighters. You know, we were able to get, in terms of external firefighters, everyone was already in California. We got 5 engines from Utah and a team of 10 people from Mexico. And that's literally all the outside assistance that we have. We have 3,000 firefighters. We need to double that number to 6,000 in order to even start containing these. So, it's a really bad situation, and we're just beginning search and rescue operations in areas where some of the fires have burned out. So right now, you know, the number of damaged structures is only 1,000 or so, and the number of deaths is in the single digits, but we have no idea how many people are still missing, and we just haven't been able to survey that damage.
Oh, just terrible. Thank you, Aaron, for giving us the latest, and we wish all of the communities up there in Oregon that are dealing with this threat and devastation all the best during this very trying time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Science reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting, Aaron Ross, who's right in the middle of covering this devastating story in Oregon. Joining us now from USC, Chief of the Environmental Health Division at SC and Professor of Clinical Preventive Medicine, Ed Avall. Professor, good to have you with us again to talk about air quality. What advice do you have for listeners dealing with the smoke that we have here in the greater Los Angeles area?
Well, good morning, Larry. Yes, as Phil Fine from the district suggested, mostly good advice about what to do. I think in the case of all of wildfire smoke, staying indoors, sort of refraining from normal physical activity, keeping the air conditioner in recirculation mode in your home if you have an air conditioner operating. If you don't, taking some damp towels and putting them on that perennial crack, that leak where the air comes in under the door, the front door perhaps, or the windowsills, it's a good idea. But basically just sort of taking it easy, staying inside, and trying to reduce both the amount of air you're processing and the amount of time you're spending outdoors in the smoke.
Our facilities people quickly rented a couple of industrial-size wheeled air purifiers with multiple types of filters, including charcoal. We brought them in, made a huge difference in our facilities. I don't know, those may not be available to the general public, but what do you recommend for people looking for filtration?
Well, as you point out, the charcoal and the particulate filters are exactly what you want. The particulate filters, typically known as high efficiency particulate or HEPA filters in a system, take out the small particles from the wildfire smoke, and then the charcoal helps to take out some of the smell, the NOx, and some of the other hydrocarbons that are in the gases that are in the plume that we're inhaling. Those tend to be generally maybe a little bit more expensive than the most inexpensive systems, because they do have the multiple filters, which require a slightly stronger motor to pull the air through those filters. But they're worth getting because, unfortunately, it seems like we're more and more into this constant onslaught of wildfire after wildfire, poor air quality day after another.
All right. And again, for people that are, you know, insensitive groups, particularly important that they heed the advice and stay out. And who are we talking about in the most sensitive groups here?
Right. Well, when we're talking about the population, there are any number of people across the spectrum. So we start with their children who are developing and may be particularly at risk because of their developing lungs, et cetera. So we want to protect those, certainly. But also at the other extreme, we have older adults who may have compromised immune systems, other pre-existing health conditions, so we're concerned about them. Pregnant mothers are an issue, obviously, for obvious reasons. Those with pre-existing cardiovascular or respiratory problems could be at risk. And then again, people we might not normally think of, that is outdoor workers and athletes who will be outside often when we don't think it's the best time to do so, exercising and or working hard. We want to, you know, encourage them to sort of take it a little easier here, because all of these populations could be at risk under these smoky conditions.
Ed, thank you as always. We appreciate it, and we hope we don't have to call on you again as the fire season. We get into, the center of that, but thank you for coming on, and we'll talk with you if we face more of this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. From USC, Professor of Clinical Preventive Medicine, Chief of SC's Environmental Health Division, Ed Avall. When he comes on and joins us, you know the air quality is pretty bad. We'll continue on Air Talk with another medical expert, and that's going to be Dr. Peter Chin Hong, UC San Francisco Medical Center, with the latest on COVID-19, including the U.S. government backing away from some of the additional screening measures they're doing from international passengers arriving at our airports. We'll find out what Dr. Chin Hong thinks of that when we return in 1 minute on Air Talk.